Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you, if you've not already, to pick up your copy of my ebook, What Made the Golden Age Shine? In it, I examine what were things that made the golden age of entertainment so special that it captures the attention of readers, listeners, and filmgoers even to this day. It is available for 99 cents in the Kindle store. It's What Made the Golden Age Shine, and you can find all my books, audiobooks, and ebooks at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for this week's episode of Mystery is My Hobby, and the title is Death Has Blue Eyes.
Mystery is my hobby. Ladies and gentlemen, Barton Drake speaking.
This week I've selected for our drama case history number 129 from my book, Mystery is My Hobby. I call it Death Has Blue Eyes.
And now to Glenn Langan as Barton Drake in the first act of
Mystery is My Hobby.
Why doesn't Mike answer?
Mike, where are you? Why don't you answer the phone?
Must have gone out.
Holy smoke, 11 o'clock in the morning.
I guess it's up to me. Where's my... Oh, slippers. Here they are. Hello.
Is this Barton Drake?
Yeah.
The Barton Drake?
Huh? Who's this?
Leslie Fraser. Remember me? We met last summer at Scared's and Scared's Party.
Huh?
You must forgive me for calling you, but...
I didn't get your name.
Fraser, darling. Leslie Fraser. Now, don't tell me you forgot me. I couldn't take that. Not on top of everything
else. Oh, yes. Miss Fraser. I'm sorry, but you woke me out of a sound sleep.
Well, that's inexcusable, I know. But really, darling, this is an emergency.
Yes, well, it might help some if you'd tell me about it.
Yes, of course, Bart. I'm in a sort of embarrassing predicament. I think I'm going to need your help. Therapy.
Yeah? Well, go on.
Well, it appears that last night, I murdered my stepfather.
As I dressed, I tried to recall what I knew about Leslie Fraser. Leslie was a spoiled product of too many finishing schools, trips abroad, winters in Florida and summers in Newport. The boys who write those things would call her a glamorous Deb. She wore that familiar vicious pout on her mouth, and her manner and clothes were the ultimate in detached, cut crystal casualness. A show of emotion was something to be scorned and never to be indulged in. Well, that was about all a man could learn at a party, and I'd never cared enough to study the matter further. Leslie must have been watching for me, for it was she herself who opened the door.
But you are a beautiful hunk of man. I'd forgotten, Blue Eyes.
Yes, well, we'll go into that later. What's this about you killing your stepfather?
Silly, isn't it?
Murder is never silly.
You're the only one I could think of to turn to, Bob.
What do you want me to do?
I thought maybe you could give me some answers.
Me give you answers? You should have those yourself.
I'm afraid I haven't.
Did you kill your stepfather or didn't you?
That's just the point. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I didn't have that much against the old coot. I don't see how I could have done it. On the other hand, there doesn't seem to be any other answer.
Go on.
Well, I had a few too many cocktails last night, and I came home late. I remember coming home. I remember that much. But after that, everything's a blank.
Yes, that sometimes happens.
Well, this morning when I staggered to my shower, there he was on the floor of my bedroom with a knife in his back. Knife was mine. The door to my suite was locked. Nobody else has a key but me, so there you are. Can't see how anyone else could have done it, too.
On the face of it, no.
But you will help me, won't you, Bart? Please, darling, do I?
Listen, not unless you stop talking that way.
I'm sorry, Bart.
All right, that's better.
I suppose you'd like to take a look at the body?
No, not until the police get here.
The police?
Of course, you've notified the police, haven't you?
Well, no, I thought that with you...
My dear Miss Fraser, this is homicide. The police should have been called in first. Where's your phone?
Right here in the hall.
Thank you very much. I'll call headquarters. And while we're waiting, get your family together. Maybe we can have this cleared up by the time they arrive.
You've got a lot of nerve, Leslie, calling us in here like this.
I'll say you have. I've got to get out to the track.
Mr. Drake insisted we all get together.
Drake? Who's Drake?
That's me, gentlemen.
I called him in to investigate the case.
I wouldn't advise any of you to leave until after the police get here. At the moment, you're all under suspicion.
We are?
Mm-hmm.
The body was found in Leslie's room, Mr. Drake.
Murderers are supposed to have motives, aren't they, Drake? Or are the detective stories all wrong?
That's exactly what I want to find out. What motive each of you might have. You know, Miss Fraser, I think it might help matters if you'd introduce me to these people.
This is Ted McCrae, my foster brother.
Your foster brother?
Yes, I came along with Ballard when he married Leslie's mother.
So, and who is Ballard?
Ballard McCrae, my stepfather. The body, you know.
Oh, yes. And who's this gentleman?
Oh, I'm Wendell Nash, a cousin. A poor relation, if you please. And don't you believe they all don't let me know it.
Oh, don't be an ass, Wendell.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm proud to say that I haven't any use for anyone of this family. That is, except Leslie.
Well, I'm very glad to see that at least two of you are friends.
Yes, Leslie and I are engaged to be married.
Well,
that's a laugh. Ballard said if those two ever got married, he'd cut them off without a cent.
What was it you said about motives, Mr. Nash?
Ted, you're a louse. In a minute, I'll tell him about Mimi.
You do, and I'll knock your ears off.
I think I will anyway.
Why, you...
Now, just a minute. Just a minute. Wait, cut it out.
But, Ted, for heaven's sake, lay off the window.
Oh, my.
The yellow boy. He couldn't have
done that if he wasn't bigger than me.
We're all a bunch of spoiled brats, boss.
Speak for yourself. You're just sore because Dad cut your allowance down after your mother died.
Leave my mother out of this.
You're sore because Dad didn't approve of your drinking and partying.
Shut up, Ted. You're nothing but an imposter anyway.
How long has your mother been dead, Miss Fraser?
About a year.
I see. And when she died, she left all the family money in Mr. Ballard McRae's hands to dole out to you folks if he saw fit.
A stingy old so-and-so he was, too.
Tell me, do any of you know the terms of Mr. McRae's will?
I'd say that we all do.
Well, what are they?
Ted and I get the most of it if third share goes to Wendell.
Well, that settles the motive question in a general sort of way. The desire for money seems to fit all three of them.
You haven't proved a thing. Not a solitary thing.
And there's also hate.
And that fits all three of us, too, I'm afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid. Tell me, Leslie, when you came in last night, was anyone with you?
Yes, I met Ballard outside. We came in together.
Did you have your own key or did someone let you in?
Well, I'm not sure. It's all quite vague, but I believe someone let us in.
I can answer that. I did.
You did? What was your sister's condition?
She was as drunk as a goat.
Did she and Ballard have any...
No, I'll say they were fighting like a couple of cats.
And where did this fight take place?
Well, I seem to remember that much. It was right outside my door. Ballard told me what a stinker I am. He went to his suite and I went into mine. I went right to bed and passed out.
Passed out? You could have both gone into your room, had your fight in there. You could have killed him there.
I suppose that's the way it had to happen, only I'm certain he didn't come in.
And how did he get into your room?
I don't know. I have the only keys. They were lying on my dressing table this morning when I got up.
Mm-hmm. You say that the knife that killed your stepfather was yours?
Yes, it was a Japanese knife. Boy, I knew in the South Pacific sent it to me.
What kind of a lock's on the door?
Ordinary spring lock.
Then the murderer could have gone out and locked it by simply shutting the door.
Oh, anyone could have gotten out all right. It's the getting in that worries me. Nobody could have done that without having a key, so figure it any way you want to. It's to leave me. Well, that must be the police. I'll go let them in. I'll leave this mess up to you, Lua.
Have them wait in the library. I'll be right down.
Hey, Bart, what are you doing here?
Good morning, Inspector.
None of that. How'd you find out about this?
Why, Miss Fraser called me, Inspector. She wants me to help her.
You going to?
Maybe. Come on, man. Let's go up to the murder room.
You, haven't touched anything, have you?
You know me better than that.
Well, you can't blame me for asking. Now, tell me everything you know.
I told all the facts when I called the headquarters.
Yep, I got the report right here with me. Looks bad for the girl, Bart. Looks bad.
Yes. Well, let's reserve judgment until we look at the body, shall we? In here, Inspector. Well, there he is.
Yeah. That knife didn't do him any good.
Yeah, that's a bit strange.
What is?
No blood on the handle.
Maybe she wiped it off when she wiped off the fingerprints.
Oh, you're sure there were fingerprints, were there?
Well, no, but most murderers wipe them off, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you're right, Inspector. Maybe you're right.
Well, you've been around here for an hour, Bart. It'll save time if you catch me up.
Well, Inspector, Miss Fraser called me this morning about a letter. Good, Inspector. They all have motives, all the same one. But they'll have to be developed into something more serious than what has showed up so far.
You know, Bart, this is the first time I've ever known you to defend a murder.
Now, wait a minute. Listen, if Leslie's guilty, I'll be the first one to say so, Inspector.
But she is guilty. She said so herself.
Yes, I know. I'd agree if it weren't for that loss of memory. If she actually can't remember what happened after she came home, anything might have happened.
No, I think that part of it's a lot of hogwash. Any girl that drinks as much as she does doesn't blank out that easily. I think she's as guilty as sin.
Not for sure.
Of course, with her looks and her story, she'll probably only cop a charge of second degree.
No, no, Inspector. This is all too neat. It's a neat little package all tied up for the jury. There's something wrong with this picture. Something terribly wrong.
Bart, that gal calling you Blue Eyes has gotten under your skin.
You go on with your work, Inspector. And listen, be sure to examine that knife handle for fingerprints.
If there's any on it, I'm betting they're the girl.
Turn those around a bit more. I'm going to try to develop the motive.
Who is it?
Barton Drake, Ted. I'd like to speak to you a minute.
What do you want?
I'll tell you after I come in. Well, I see you have company,
What of it? Dad and I can talk if we want.
You intend to bury the hatchet, eh, Wendell?
I don't see as it's any of your business, Snooper.
It might be very convenient. Both of you are suspects, so you join forces to hang Leslie, and it'd be just like this.
Now, look, we don't have to take that from you. You're not a cop. We don't have to stand for your prying around.
That's a pretty nice gun collection you have here, Ted. Is it yours?
Whose else would it be?
You know how to shoot them?
Do I? The only thing I do know how to do well.
Do you think Leslie killed Mr. McCrae, Ted?
How should I know?
What about you, Wendell?
Look, Drake, I want to marry Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit, I hate Ted's inside. I wouldn't pin a murder rap on Leslie if I thought she was guilty. But if you expect me to help you pin it on Ted, you're nuts.
Were your sentiments towards Wendell, Ted?
In the main, yes.
Wendell here mentioned that he was due at the track this afternoon. Do you suppose he's indebted to any of the bookies, Ted?
Ask him.
Thank you, I will. Yes, Wendell?
Oh, I suppose I might as well tell you. You'll snoop it out anyway. Yes, I am. I owe quite a pile.
What about this meanie person that you threatened to tell about this morning?
That's Ted's business.
What's so important about Mimi, Ted?
Well, Mimi's an ex-girlfriend. She threatened to sue me for breach of promise.
Well, a bit of blackmail, eh?
You might call it that.
You both have pretty good motives for murder.
Well, for that matter, Leslie needs dough as badly as we do. Ask her.
Well, I intend to.
And I'll get out of here before we put your face in.
I never let myself get pushed around.
Grab him, Wendell. That side.
You bet. You got me.
It's not quite that easy, boys. I'm sorry, but... And here's yours, Wendell.
Oh, brother, you pack off.
You'll have to train in something besides nightclubs and brews before you'll be up to that sort of thing, my friend.
Now, back to Glenn Langan as Barton Drake, and...
Mystery is my hobby.
Come on in, Blue Eyes. Close the door.
Drinking again, Leslie?
Oh, just a cocktail, have one?
No, thanks.
Oh, come on, you'd be cute with a little gin in.
Yes, well, I have other things to do at the moment.
Oh, forget about that mean old murder and let's get chummy.
Stop it, Leslie. Can't you get it through that bird brain of yours if you're the number one suspect?
What do you expect me to do? Go hysterical? Chew my fingernails down to my elbows? That's what I would do if I let myself go.
Did you kill Ballard McCrae?
How do I know? Probably I did. I must tell.
Why? Why?
Money, I suppose. All we've done this past year is fight over money. When Mother died, Ballard started dishing it out in nickels and dimes. That must have been why I killed him.
Anything. Wendell and Ted have the same motive.
It looks like they're out of it. No, I guess I'm elected.
I wouldn't give it up to you, huh?
Oh, what's the use? Inspector needs just one little thing to pin this on me. A good hot motive. And believe me, I've got one.
What's that? Go on.
I didn't tell him about this. But I'm telling you, Bob. I crossed up Ballard by opening charge accounts all over town.
Hmm.
I thought he'd give in and pay the bills, only he didn't. Now I owe thousands, and they're getting tough about it. Did you ever have bill collectors breathing down your neck? Did you, Blue Eyes?
Something that bothers me about this case, Inspector.
Nothing bothers me.
I've just had another talk with all three of the members of the family. They're all of them too willing to tell the world about how much money they owe.
What do you mean?
I think I'll go out and make a few calls on the creditors, Inspector.
What on earth for?
Oh, just to satisfy a hunch. Oh, by the way, whose fingerprints did you find on the knife?
The girl's? It was lousy one.
Oh, good, Inspector, good. Now I'm almost positive that she isn't guilty.
Mark, The trouble with you is that you fall too quick for a pretty ankle. You're a pretty face.
Yeah, that's right, Inspector. And did you notice Leslie has both?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be seeing you. Look, Slinky, how much is Wendell Nash into you for?
Who?
Wendell Nash, you handled his bets on the ponies, didn't you?
Sure.
He says you welched on some bets. How much? I want to know the truth. What
you
does he owe?
You must be wrong, Mr. Drake. Nash don't owe me nothing. Not a red cent.
You're Mimi LaFont, aren't you?
You bet I am.
You're a friend of Ted McCrae.
You're a friend of Ted. Yes, well, guy.
Never mind that. How much are you asking?
What for?
For that threatened breach of promise suit.
Oh, that I ain't asking of, and I've already been paid.
Yes, Mr. Drake. Miss Fraser did owe us quite an amount. We were quite worried about the matter.
Did owe you? Does that mean she doesn't owe it now?
Well, Mr. Drake, I'm not supposed to tell this, but as long as Mr. McRae is dead, I guess it'll be all right.
Go on.
The bill was paid last week.
Did Miss Fraser pay it with cash?
Oh, Miss Fraser didn't pay it. Mr. Ballard McRae did. Only we weren't supposed to let his daughter know.
I see.
Mr. McRae was a fine man, a mighty fine man.
Back on ready, Bart?
Yes, Inspector.
Where'd you find out?
Enough to convince me a tragic mistake's been made.
Yeah, what?
I think I'll be able to tell you after we've examined Mr. Ballard McRae's room.
There's a bunch of papers, Bart.
Let me see. Yes, indeed.
What are they?
Here's a receipt signed by one Slinky Forbes. A gambling debt paid in full.
Yeah.
And here's a release from a breach of promise suit, settlement in full, signed by a Miss Mimi LaFont. Here's a bunch of receipt of bills from various department stores, bills made out to Miss Leslie Frazier.
Well, I'll be darned.
Go on, look some more, Inspector. You're doing fine.
Yeah.
Hey, look here, Inspector.
What have you got?
A gun.
Bart, are you nuts? McRae was killed with a knife.
I know, but don't you think it a bit strange, Inspector, that a gun should be lying around with a safety catch? Oh.
Well, sure, but after all, there's a lot of time.
Well, you guys still snooping around?
Come in, Ted, come in. I want to ask you some questions.
I can't tell you anymore.
Yes, I think you can. What was Ballard McRae wearing when he came in last night?
What? The suit you found him in. Why?
No hat, no coat.
Come to think of it, I guess he was wearing a hat. His gray hat and gray top coat. Yes, that was it.
Oh, just wait a minute, please. I want to look in the closet over here.
Ted, do you see the ones, Ted?
Yes, those are the ones.
Thank you, Ted. Inspector, this does it.
Well, I can't see
how... It proves conclusively that Ballard McRae did not go into Leslie's suite when they came in last night. It proves that he must have come in here first. Well, Inspector, I think now I can tell you how the murder was committed, and I also think I can tell you who did it.
Well, look here, if it wasn't Leslie, who was it?
I'm not so sure that you'll like the answer to that, Ted.
And now, back to Glenn Langan as Barton Drake and...
Mystery is my hobby.
Now, the way I see it, you all had a motive. A motive that was exactly the same in every case, the need of money.
You can say that again.
Ted here had a girl blackmailing him. Wendell, you went into hock to the bookies. And Leslie, you're in a charge account. Now, Leslie.
Yes, Bart?
You were overheard fighting with your stepfather. The body was found in your room with your knife in his back. That's pretty conclusive evidence for any jury.
I still don't believe I could kill anybody for money, drunk or sober.
You can put your mind at rest, my dear. You didn't.
What did you say?
No, we've uncovered evidence that proves that Mr. McRae didn't go into your room last night, Leslie. After your argument, he came here, hung up his hat and coat, and here is where he was killed, right here in this room.
Well, thanks,
Bob. My pleasure, you're welcome. The murderer killed McKay right here and carried his body into your room. He tried to place the blame on you.
How could he? I had the only key.
Do you remember actually locking your door?
Well, no, but it was locked in the morning.
Yes, the murderer did that on his way out. In your condition, you were tight and angry, remember? So after your argument, you stormed into your room, leaving the door ajar. That's the way it had to happen.
I suppose I could have it then.
Yes. So the murderer overheard the argument and spotted the open door. He went to Ballard McRae's rooms and threatened him. McRae pulled a gun, but he wasn't quick enough. He only had time to release the safety catch before he was killed with a knife.
Seems to me you're doing an awful lot of guessing, Drake.
The murderer then carried the body into Leslie's room. He removed his knife and substituted Leslie's in the wound and left, snapping the lock as he went out.
Wait a minute, Bart. That's carrying it a little too far.
Is it, Inspector? Don't you remember your police manual?
Huh?
Of course, Inspector. Your manual says that it's impossible to stab a man to death without getting blood on the murderer's hands, remember? And on the handle of the knife. That knife of Leslie's, or the handle at least, was as clean as a washed baby's face.
Well, yes, but...
And the fact that it was covered with Leslie's fingerprints proves that the murderer didn't even wipe them off.
That's a very pretty story.
He made two other mistakes, however. Mistakes that clear Leslie completely.
The whole thing was a mistake, if you ask me.
He forgot about McCrae's hat and topcoat. And, although he wiped McCrae's fingerprints from his gun, he neglected to put the safety catch back on.
Quit stalling, Bart. Who did it?
Well, the murderer, Inspector, is either Wendell Nash or Ted McCrae.
I knew you'd be getting around to me.
Yes, yes. You have the strongest motive, Ted. Your payoff to Mimi, your share of the family money, plus Leslie's share. She was convicted of murder.
You know, I always did think Ted was a rat.
What? Why, you sniffling little punk. You would try to pin this on me, wouldn't you? Let me tell you something. I haven't said one word against you. Not yet. I was willing to let Leslie take the rap. Why not? Just as Drake says, I'd get her share, too. Besides, she never did anything for me. Why should I stick my neck out for her? You know, I think I'll push your dirty little face in.
No, no, help.
Come on, come on, come on. None of that.
Leslie
come
didn't
on,
kill the old boy, then you did, you rats.
Hey, I did not.
Here's something even you don't know yet, Drake. This little squirt here and Leslie had a fight. I overheard it. And Leslie told him off plenty. Huh? She told him she wouldn't marry him if she were Eve and he were Adam.
Is that correct, Leslie?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
It's been eating your insides out ever since, hasn't it, Wendell? So I suppose you tried to grab your cut of the dough and get even with Leslie all in one filthy jest.
Well, that's about it, Inspector. Wendell Nash is your man.
Now, wait just a minute, you... You haven't proved a thing against me. Not a thing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I almost forgot. It's the safety catch that points it at you, Wendell.
The safety catch?
Yes, yes. The catch on Ballard McCrae's gun. You see, it couldn't be Ted. Ted has a very fine gun collection. Also, Ted is a very fine shot. Maybe you didn't know it, Wendell, but a man who's accustomed to handling guns like Ted would never put a loaded gun down without first setting the safety catch.
All right, so I did. But it was either Ballard or me.
What do you mean?
But Ballard wouldn't give me any money. And I was up to my neck in gambling debt. Slinky Forbes out of the track was going to put me on the spot if I didn't pay up.
Yes, that's a tragic part of the whole affair. If you hadn't all been a bunch of wasteful brats, this never would have happened in the first place.
Oh, no, I know.
Ballard McCrae was much too good a man for any of you. He paid up all your debts just last week, each and every one of them.
Oh, no.
What?
Only when he paid, he insisted that none of you should know what he'd done.
Then Slinky wasn't after me anymore?
No, Wendell. You were all in the clear. Think that over while you're sitting in the chair.
Well, Martin, now that's over, I think I'll spend the rest of the day at the race.
You better stay away from Slinky Forbes, Inspector.
I don't need his tips. I get a sure thing in the fifth.
Sure thing, yeah?
Yeah. A little filly named, Blue Eye.
All right, go ahead, Inspector. And listen, while you're at it, will you put $2 on her nose for me?
Why don't you come along, place your own bet?
No, Inspector. Not today. Mystery is still my hobby.
Glenn Langan will return in just a moment. Mystery is My Hobby is directed by Dave Titus and is written by Fred Howard. This episode is based on an original story by Lee Horton. Our original music was composed and played by Len Salvo. Included in our cast were Ken Christie as Inspector Danton, Betty Lou Gerson as Leslie Frazier, Jack Edwards Jr. as Wendell Nash, and Willard Waterman as Ted McCrae. The events depicted in this story were entirely fictional. And any resemblance to actual places or people, living or dead, is purely coincidental. And now, here's Glenn Langan with a word about next week's story.
Thank you, Bruce Buell, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for bringing with us tonight. Next week, plan to join us again when I bring you case history number 130. It's a story of murder and dreams of adventure. I call it Death in a Chili Bowl. Until then, this is Glenn Langan saying adios.
the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back. Well, Willard Waterman, one of those really recognizable voices in radio, he played the Great Gildersleeve, was the second actor to do so after Harold Perry left. And if there had to be a second Great Gildersleeve, I don't think any actor came as close to Harold Perry as what you got from Willard Waterman. One thing I have noticed about these episodes is that at least it does seem like there are a lot more episodes where Barton Drake is given cause to really chew people out, which I don't think was something he did during the initial run of the series. But I don't think that it's on just his reactions, and certainly not here. It always does seem to be the case in these mystery stories that people are trying to, you know, kill off their guardians because they're not fair. And you can kind of at least understand why they have a point. In this case, they have a twist in that he actually took care of him and helped him out. So not the typical situation in these mysteries. All right, well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to John, Patreon supporter since March of 2020, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, John. And that will do it for now. If you are listening to this podcast via YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. And join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and we'll be back next Thursday, another episode of Mystery is My Hobby. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net, follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming up this week on the Old Time Radio Snack Wagon.
The echoing hoofbeats of the Ghost Rider should never end. They should throb in the pulses of every American and live in his memory from family to family, generation to generation. Perhaps ghosts should be seen and not heard. But this is one your whole family should hear about.
Listen to the Old Time Radio Snack Wagon, snackwagon.net, or wherever you get your podcasts.